And there's been many other experiences that I've had. I also draw upon the amount of reading and research and commitment that I made to learning more about these subjects that we're going to talk on this program, especially about this subject, this issue of self-esteem. And I'm making a case in this presentation today that self-esteem is not just something we talk about and go, yeah, I feel pretty confident today, and next day maybe not so confident, and yeah, I picked up a Tony Robbins book. Yeah, it did me a little bit of good. Maybe it did me a lot of good. I don't know. Basically, what I want to do is take self-esteem out of the department of casual or irrelevant and put it back into a state of relevance, where I'm arguing that self-esteem on many different levels is actually a matter of life and death. Hey everybody, welcome. How's it going? What's up? What's new? Welcome to this channel. If it's your first time, if you're coming back, welcome back. I am going to be talking to you today about a subject that I'm very passionate about and have become more passionate about as I have been witnessing what has been happening in our time in 2018. It is currently coming up to the end of November of 2018. Can you believe it? How fast time flies. And man, there's a lot of stuff going on, eh? A lot of crazy things. The online discussions, the social political discussions, all the craziness that's going on, no matter which angle you're looking at it from, has inspired me to try to bring a piece of the puzzle to all of this. And we'll get into what I mean by all of this in a moment, but let's just look at it like, all of life, all the things happening in life, like the things happening in our personal lives, the thing happening in our society right now, the things happening in whatever country you live in, no matter where you live in the world, there's definitely some shit going on we need to talk about. But what's not being talked about as much as I feel it should be, it's just my opinion, is the roots of everything, the root of all of this chaos that we see unfolding. Because I'm sure if you paid attention to the news for even 5 minutes, no matter where you are, you can see that things are pretty chaotic right now. There's a lot of fighting and arguing, and there's a battle of the sexes and battle of the races and battle of civilization and battle of this and war of that. And, you know, you start speaking your mind on one subject for 2 seconds and you're getting shouted down and harassed and trolled and all of this nonsense. And it seems like we've lost the ability to just have some rational dialogue, to just have a conversation about these very complex issues. And so the type of issues that I deal with, you may have seen it in my little trailer there. I'm very proud of that one. It took me a while to put together, but anyways, is I speak a lot about you as an individual and how to interface with this chaotic world in which we find ourselves in this time. And this time could be looked at, I think, in history. If you look at the historical record and you compare it to where we are right now, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. I think that's always been going on. There's a little bit of good, a little bit of bad, a little bit in between. And how do you navigate in that kind of environment? How do you find yourself? How do you motivate yourself? How do you make something of yourself when the world seems to be crumbling all around us and there's nothing but uncertainty? There's nothing but just this, I don't know, for me, what I'm hearing from people, what I'm seeing in the discussion, there are those people out there that I feel, you know, have a lot of clarity and, or, you know, they've got a sense of direction and purpose. But there's a lot of people out there that I'm hearing from and that I'm talking to that feel lost. They feel like something is missing from their lives. They feel like they don't know which way's up, who to believe, who not to believe. You know, which news organization can I trust to give me the news about what's happening in the political world or whatever else? What kind of food should I be eating? What kind of media should I be consuming? Who should I be listening to? And my message, guys, let me just break this down real quick. My message is that I think as individuals, you and me, we need to become our own source of knowledge, of confidence, of knowing how, of direct, a point of direction. You start with yourself. You start there. You start with what you can control. You can't control what's happening in the world. You can't control what's happening with your friends and family. You can't control what's happening in your neighborhood, in your community, in your country, in the world. You can't control those things. You can't make people do things. You only have control over yourself, right? I think we can all agree on that. So that's where I'm coming from. This is what the main, no matter what I talk about, and I'm going to be doing shows on Truth Warrior coming up. We're going to cover politics, but we're going to cover it from this perspective. We're going to cover alternative theories and ideas about history, about the nature of the universe, about all kinds of freaky stuff, okay? Ancient mysteries and all these kinds of things, but from the context of you, starting there. And I'll just share this with you guys. The reason I'm doing this is not because I'm trying to get up on some soapbox and convert you to some kind of ideology or anything. All I'm trying to do is contribute a voice to this conversation that is happening. And I feel like I do have something to say about it because I do have experience in my life, as I'm sure you do, of dealing with all different types of challenges and traumas and ups and downs and everything in between. And on this journey, I made the choice in my life a long time ago to make these questions that I had, to make that a study, to not just let the question sit there and then just float away, never to be answered, leaving me in a state of confusion and in a place where I have no direction. I didn't want that. I wanted to have a solid foundation upon which to base my ideas, my principles, my values, my direction in life. That all really came to being when I became an entrepreneur years ago, opened up my first business. And I realized, okay, it's not just, we're not just playing around anymore. If I want to succeed with this project, I have to really put myself into it and I have to do what's required. And it's not just about learning how to do business and how to do accounting and marketing and all that kind of stuff. It's about learning how to master your mind and master your body, master your habits, master to develop some discipline, to develop some self-esteem, which is what we're going to be getting into here. And then that was further accelerated when I became a father 6 years ago. That changed a lot of things for me. Was now I had these little human beings that relied on me for everything 24/7. And there's been many other experiences that I've had. I also draw upon the amount of reading and research and commitment that I made to learning more about these subjects that we're going to talk on this program, especially about this subject, this issue of self-esteem. And I'm making a case in this presentation today that self-esteem is not just something we talk about and go, yeah, I feel pretty confident today and next day, maybe not so confident. And yeah, I picked up a Tony Robbins book. Yeah, it did me a little bit of good. Maybe it did me a lot of good. I don't know. Basically, what I want to do is take self-esteem out of the department of casual or irrelevant and put it back into a state of relevance where I'm arguing that self-esteem on many different levels is actually a matter of life and death. And you're like, whoa, you're getting pretty deep there, man. Whoa, it's deep. I didn't want to tune into some deep shit right now. Well, hopefully you did. Hope you want a little bit of deep shit because we're going to go deep, 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 deep into who you are, why you're here, where you're going, how to have some point of orientation so that you can hopefully make better decisions in your life, bring more success and happiness and joy into your life, learn how to confront the challenges that are inevitable and actually woven into the fabric of this life experience, and how by working on each individual in our society, we can help to heal a lot of these divides and this chaos that is erupting, should we not do anything about it. So a lot of people, when they think of solutions to our current state of affairs especially, let's just look at it from the perspective of the West, or, you know, it could be any country you live in really, but just because I live in Canada, so I'm coming from that perspective. When I analyze what's going on in Canada, and then I look at what's going on in the US, and I look at what's going on in Europe, and then, you know, you keep extending out and people do great work from all over the world, bringing their experience and their points of information into the fold. But when you really analyze it and look at it, you start to realize that at the source of all of it is what? Just, are we all just some group of people that have, we're just being, making decisions together as one all of the time? Or is our community and our society and even our families and everything else, are they made up of individuals that are all participating and interacting with each other on different levels? And we're making decisions and choices every single day that affect our lives, that affect other people's lives, and that unknowingly or knowingly affect the course of history and affect where things are going to go in the world. Are we going to move more towards living in a free, open society that is built for generating abundance and wealth in people, and not just physically or materially, but more importantly, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically? I mean, to have your health intact on all levels is incredibly valuable, wouldn't you agree? But when you speak to people, or if you feel this in yourself, we all feel it, I feel it, we've all been through it to some degree. When you speak to people that are very much lacking this self-esteem, and I'll break down the definitions of what I'm talking about when I use that term in a moment, but when we talk about this issue of self-esteem, we can see how far it permeates. We can see how much influence it has over your life, the direction of your life, the type of life you're going to live, the quality of life you're going to live, and then how that permeates up the fractal to even the social and political sphere as well, and will definitely contribute to where we go as a country, as a people, as a world. Where we all go is going to be dependent on our individual choices. It's not going to be dependent on some mass group of people that just start becoming like the Borg and becoming this whole collective group of people that are thinking with one mind. That's not going to change the world. It hasn't changed the world. It's never changed the world. It's probably caused more harm than good, actually, because this, what I'm going to break down today, has been ignored and thrown out the window. The media is not talking about this stuff. That your schools are not teaching you this stuff. Your churches, your mosques, your synagogues, most of them are not teaching this, although there's always exceptions. But this is not something that is widely taught. It's not something that is widely accepted or looked at. And I think it's because it's so personal. And we have created a society where it's easy to be fake. It's easy to just create some Facebook profile picture, pretend you're somebody you're not, ignore your own internal chaos, and project that internal chaos onto all the people around you and the world. And now, because of that, we have a whole society and a whole army of young people coming out of the schools and universities ready to hit the workplace and to become the big, you know, sit in the big CEO positions and take over the reins of government and take over the economic system. You know, the future. These children and so many of us are coming out lacking self-esteem, lacking self-knowledge, lacking the knowledge I'm going to go through with you on this presentation and many to follow of how to become a victor in life instead of just living like a victim. Because I think we've had enough victim. I've had enough victim. I'm sure you've had enough victim. I hope I can prove the case to you that a victim mentality is not just a poor life choice. It's actually, again, a matter of life and death. Life and death for your physical and mental well-being. Life and death for your society, your culture, and your country. Life and death for this planet. Should we not change the orientation of how we think? You know? So this whole thing is my attempt to simply contribute my opinion. I am not here to tell you what to think. I am not here to put myself up as like the arbiter of truth or anything like that. All I can do and all anybody can do is contribute their experience, their research, their thoughts in the moment. This is my current mode of thinking. I am an open book. Any of the subject matter that I present, I have always said this from day one, is delivered to you with the spirit of, yeah, it's passionate. Yes, I am biased. Yes, I have my own, you know, unique life experience to draw from. And I can't necessarily always put myself in everybody's shoes. But I'm an open book. And if anything that I present is shown to be fraudulent or false or misleading, then show it to me and I'll make that adjustment. But the main point here is that I'm just trying to contribute what I know and what I've experienced and what I've seen and what I feel. I hope it adds value. Take it for what it's worth. And I encourage you to go out and do a better job than me. do a better production, do a whole bunch of research, read as many books as you can, get as much life experience as you can, share your stories. We need as many people out there talking about the subjects that matter to them in a concise way with facts, reason, and evidence to back it up. And we need to have a dialogue that isn't always combative. I feel like the dialogue today is just combative. We're just fighting all the time. We're not actually getting anywhere. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody? Girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse, whatever, friend, where you start fighting about how you're fighting instead of actually getting to the bottom of the disagreement so you can reach some kind of equilibrium? I've had that happen. I'm sure we can all realize that. And I feel like as a society, that's where we're going to. And so this information, hopefully, will help you instead of being torn apart by all the people and opinions and ways of thinking around you. You'll start to become centered within your being, in your mind, to be at peace within, so that you can come to that social discussion with some armor on, with some confidence in who you are and confidence in what your values are and confidence in what you are arguing for or working towards or contributing or whatever. And then also this reaches so many areas. If you're somebody that is working a job and you'd like to either exit that job for a better job, or you want to get promoted in your job, or you want to quit the whole job thing in general and go ahead and work for yourself, then this information is invaluable for you. If you are starting any kind of project, or you want to do anything with your life, you want to become a better musician, a better artist, a better podcaster, a better movie producer, a better CEO, a better spouse, a better father, better mother, better whatever. To be the best of yourself is the best gift you can give yourself. But you have to understand what that standard is, and you have to set that bar for yourself. And so this subject is key to all of these aspects of life, because this is life. This is the foundation of how you're going to approach life, or how you're going to run and try to hide from life. Are you going to be a victor or a victim? That's the concept here. So I think it's important. I think it's pretty serious shit we're going to talk about. And I just wanted to read, before I go ahead here. So this is the title of a little prezzo that I put together for you. Self-esteem, a matter of life and death. Rather dramatic, but true nonetheless, as we will see. And I want to dedicate this and say thank you to these three gentlemen who I will be going to periodically throughout this presentation. And I just want to say thank you as well to these gentlemen, because it was reading Nathaniel Brandon, Bruce Lee, Michael Tessarian, and Michael Tessarian, someone I actually work with actively. I work with him on my other project, which is the Unslaved podcast. You can check all that stuff out at unslaved.com. We deal with this subject matter as well as many other subjects in a very deep, penetrating, and scholarly manner. So if you're into that kind of stuff, go check it out. One of the best online media formats you're going to find, in my opinion. And but Nathaniel Brandon, he's someone I've been reading over the last number of years about this subject. I feel like he wrote the book on the subject. I've spoken about him before in other video logs. I can't really stop talking about what he has said about this, because what he has said about this is so profound that there's no way for me to possibly re-say that. So all I can do is share it and then maybe add in some of my own experience on that regard. And it's the same with Bruce Lee. I mean, a lot of people remember Bruce Lee as being just some amazing martial artist action movie star that tragically died at a young age. But he was a lot more than that. And much has been released even recently about a lot of the things that he wrote down, some of his personal journals, some of his own just reflections, things he wrote on cocktail napkins, things he discussed with people in private. Those things have now come out more. He's written extensively on personal development in a way that had never been done before. Bruce Lee was a philosopher. He was someone that did a really good job of bringing together the best, I feel, the best of Western philosophy and Eastern philosophy. That made him a threat to a lot of people while he was around. I still feel people are threatened by him today, because all three of these gentlemen and many of the other people that I will reference throughout many videos on this channel, they are maverick thinkers. They are people who think outside the box. They do not accept just the status quo. They don't just bow down to the PhDs. They do their own thinking And then they put that pen to paper, or they put that into some kind of a form of content, and they give it to the world. And so I've been studying the work of these three men seriously, not just passively, but seriously for many years. And so I owe them a great debt of gratitude. Without them, this presentation would not be possible. I would not be sitting here right now doing this. Probably be doing something else. So this whole thing is centered around this question. Who am I? Who am I? I know. This is something that we often think of as in a cliched sort of term. And it's sad that even this discussion about self-esteem or this philosophical fundamental question of who am I, we're in a state where I feel like people have gotten so cynical, so extroverted, that there's no respect for philosophy anymore. There's no respect for introspection. There's no respect for deep thinking. It's really, when you have dialogue with people today and when you look at the top celebrities and the people that get all the most views on YouTube and the most, it seems to be where people are most interested, is if there's lots of flashing lights, if it's this kind of sarcastic humor, which is fine. I'm just saying that I feel like we've walked away from a very important element to what made our civilization great and what made, I feel, the best advances in human history possible. Without this question, and without brilliant, genius-level people asking this question and spending their entire lives trying to answer it, and then gift that, the discoveries that they made, doing a forensic analysis of this concept of who am I and what's my relation to the world and what the hell is this all about? If we didn't have those great minds coming from philosophy, religion, science, etc., and even just off the cuff, random, everyday people, we would not be here. So if you don't ask the question, who am I, you're going to walk around with no sense of true self-identity. And I find it very interesting that here we are, listening to all these people scream and shout about identity and whether they identify as this and how they identify as that and how you address me when I'm talking to you. And then we're getting all that stuff legislated into law. And then it's just getting so insane. How many different bathrooms can we have installed in the mall to accommodate everybody that identifies as something differently? Hey, you identify with whoever you want to identify. But what I'm interested in here is not just the identity in relation to your physical body and how you want people to perceive you. Do you see how that's the whole conversation? It's about what is my body going to look like? How am I going to look aesthetically? How am I going to present myself to the world aesthetically? And then I'm obsessed with how people are going to react to that. And I'm so obsessed with it that I want the whole force of the law to come down on somebody that gets that wrong or doesn't like me or doesn't perceive me in the way I want to be perceived. It's gotten out of hand. That's all I'm saying. So we're seeing the permutations of a crisis in consciousness that happens to everybody on different levels and in different ways. So you might yourself say, oh, I'm not like that, Dave. I don't have any identity problems or identity crisis. And maybe everybody's at a different stage of the journey. Even I constantly wrestle with this question. This question is something that tortures me. And it should. Not in a negative way, in a good way. Good torture. It's kind of like when you have a good workout. When you have a good workout, you go back home thinking, why did I just put my body through that? I'm all sore, sweaty, tired. But then you reap the rewards, don't you? I'm stronger next time. I can run farther. My heart rate is better. My health is better. I'm not getting sick as much. There's rewards to pain and delayed gratification. This question is the psychological workout that you have to do if you want to make any progress in your life. You got to start with this question. So if we see a world and a society that's going through an identity crisis, it's because we've walked away from not just this question, but everything that surrounds this whole inquiry. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's it all about? When you stop asking those questions and you stop caring, most importantly, about those questions, you have to care about it. You have to care deeply about it. You have to realize the incentive that is involved for you. You have to realize the rewards, even though there's suffering involved in this question, there's struggle that's going to be involved in this question, that coming out on the other side is going to make you a stronger, more holistic, more creative, and more successful person in all spheres of your life, not just one, all. When you don't address this question, you're a car without wheels, just sitting on the driveway. The car has all the working parts that it needs to do everything. The radio works, the lights work, the engine works, the oil has just been changed, everything works. But without any wheels, you ain't going anywhere. This question is the wheels to your vehicle. And I'm just observing what's happening, and I'm seeing that it's not just obvious, it's blatantly obvious what's going on. Everything that's being presented to us by the media about what the top discussions are all about, and all the big intellectuals getting together and debating all these things, if they don't take this question and the subject I'm going to be bringing to you today, in my opinion, if they do not highlight this, the consciousness factor. This was something I learned deeply from the work of Michael Tesserian, who said it so many years ago now, where he said, it's a crisis of consciousness and you can't leave consciousness at the door. And that's what's happened in academia, in religion, in politics, everywhere. So I'm here to say, enough's enough. Let's move on. Let's try to evolve. So let's get into some definitions. Now, I'm just going to let you know at this point, we've gone just coming up on half an hour here. How we're going to do this is really going to be the overview, the general sort of, I'm going to get through as much as I can in this section. And then I honestly only want to speak the rest of this stuff. I only want to bring the rest of this information to people who are serious, that really want to get into it. Okay. So I will be breaking that up specifically for my patrons over at Patreon. That's just the best setup that I was able to put together for this. It ensures that, you know, people that are in those chat rooms, people that are digesting that information, that they're engaged, they're committed, and it also supports and incentivizes me to keep doing it. I'm not the kind of person that would like to sit here speaking to myself, and I believe that there needs to be an equal exchange of value for value. So you can go and check out my Patreon page there if you want to get the full presentation. But if that's not for you, no worries. There's going to be tons of free content that's going to be coming out on this channel. So stay tuned. So that being said, let's get into a couple terms. I always like to really go through some of the terms that I'm going to be using so that you know what I mean when I'm saying it, because there's a word that's used and then there's the way everybody perceives the word that's used. And so let's get into it. So one of the words that you're going to hear me using a lot is the word volition or volitional. And so this is from Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary. It's the act of willing, choosing, or resolving, and it's the act of exercising your will. It's a choice or decision made by your will. And it's the power of your will or of willing. So we're talking here about one of the most taboo subjects now of our time. Thank you, Sam Harris, which is free will, which I am a proponent of. I believe that certain elements of our universe are fixed and some of them are mutable, meaning some things are predetermined and some things are determined by your free will, by action. Okay. And this was one of the major factors in the work of Nathaniel Brandon in relation to the subject of self-esteem, which I'll clarify for you in a bit. And I mean, come on, I think we can all admit, no matter what your side of the debate is in terms of determinism versus free will, because this is a philosophical question that goes back to the beginning of philosophy, by the way, it's not new. These new guys on the stage making millions of dollars off this stuff, they didn't invent this philosophy, this idea. This has been going on since the advent of anybody writing anything down. Do I have free will, or is my will directed by the gods? do I have free will, or is the my will directed by a mechanical predetermined universe that has a source in something like the Big Bang? Whatever way you want to conceptualize it, we can all say this, though, that you have the free will to continue to watch this video or not. You have the free will to act on the information that you're going to be given or not to act on that information. You have the free will to set your alarm clock a little bit earlier in the morning so you have an extra, a little extra time in your day to do stuff or to not do that. You have the free will to eat healthier so that you can think more clearly or not to do that. You have the free will to choose to put yourself together a nice exercise routine and get involved in a physical activity that's going to get your heart pumping, that's going to stimulate your body to, you know, give you all the things that you need. Your body was meant to work. You have the free will to either use your body for that and make it stronger or to not, to let it go and go, I don't care about it. And my question will be to you, why would you not do those things that would be better for you in the long run, in all areas of your life? Why are we, what is it inside of you that would tell you, I'm not going to eat healthier to live a better quality of life and to live longer? I'm not going to consume information that is good for my mind and that will stimulate me, motivate me, inspire me, give me peace, give me hope, give me motivation, and all those things. Why would you not want to become active in making your life your dream life? Why wouldn't you want to do, why wouldn't you want to work every single day towards achieving a life worth living? That alone is you exercising your free will. Hence volitional. The next one is consciousness. We use this word all the time. Well, you go to yoga, they're going to talk about your consciousness. You listen to anybody, whatever, they're going to talk about your consciousness. Here we go. Consciousness. Number one, state of being conscious, awareness of one's own existence, sensations, thoughts, surroundings, etc. So consciousness is related also to your awareness of self. The thoughts and feelings collectively of an individual or an aggregate of people. So you could also, if you get into a crowd mentality or mob mentality, you could say, oh, there's a mass consciousness. Or if you get involved with even going to a hockey game and you're all cheering and willing that hockey team to win, it's sort of like a mass consciousness. But that mass consciousness is like an energy field that's contributed to by these individual lights that are you and me as individuals that contribute our conscious energy to that. So if you only see this all consciousness as just being this oneness crap that you get from the New Age community, and they are way off base with the way they're delivering that, in my opinion, then you're going to miss the best part of what this word is actually referring to, which is your ability to perceive, and not just perceive, but to conceive of ideas, of your actions, of everything in your life. You have a conceptual faculty. And when you put all of the compartments of the mind, the divisions of the brain, you know, the left hemisphere, right hemisphere, corpus callosum brings everything together, you know, the prefrontal neocortex, the third eye, the pituitary glands, you put all the physical components of that computer there together. And then you go, well, what makes that thing run? You could call it your consciousness. And we can all debate as to the source of where that comes from. I look at it a little bit differently than those materialists out there that would say, oh, it's just all stemming from the brain. That's the end of it. I don't look at it like that, but hey, I'll leave you to it. Either way, it's full activity of the mind and senses as in waking life. So when you're unconscious, maybe you took an uppercut to the chin, now you're unconscious, or you took a drug and passed out, or you just fell asleep, you're in either a different state of consciousness, or you've lost consciousness altogether. And then when you come to, you are now conscious again, okay? So the question then in relation to this discussion we're gonna have is, where are you pointing your consciousness on a daily basis? Your consciousness is like your God weapon. Like that's a device that we all have. It's a gift that human beings have. All living things have consciousness to different degrees and in different ways. But humans have a very unique formulation of this thing we call consciousness. We have a very unique toolkit. Our body is unique. Our brain is unique. In fact, we stick out on this planet like a sore thumb. That'll be a discussion for another show. But either way, we have something that all other forms of life do not have, at least to this point that we know, where all animals, for example, have the ability to perceive and to react on instinct, whereas we have the ability to perceive, react, and instinct, plus to conceive and make choices. So that's a grave responsibility. Self, what do we need? Self-esteem. We got to talk about what self even means, right? So obviously self, it's a person or thing referred to with respect to complete individuality. A person's nature, character, etc., and your personal interest. This is really key, personal interest. We don't have equality amongst our interests. We do not have equality in terms of our character and our integrity and our morals. What differentiates somebody that does acts of good versus somebody that does acts of evil, or someone that creates versus someone that destroys? What's the difference? They're all human beings. We're all equal, right? No, you all have an equal shot at life, an equal shot at making yourself and creating yourself into something that is either going to be a destroyer or a creator. And that's all a process of your free will. And this is all about yourself. Yourself, look at it as your own personal pet project, that you came here on a sort of research mission to this planet called Earth to accumulate information, to exercise your free will, to make choices, probably a bit of good, a bit of bad, a bit of everything in between, but to ultimately create yourself in this life. And then when the body dies, you transition. Who the fuck knows what happens after that? But either way, that's the self. The self is your pet project about who you are. It's not your avatar. It's not your Facebook profile picture. It's not updating your status. It's not just the way you present yourself to the world. That would be considered your ego, right? And the ego, this can get really complex. I don't want to dwell here, but I'm not one of those people that says you shouldn't have an ego. I'm actually pro ego. I think that the ego should serve the master, which is, you could call it some people call it your higher self. I don't really like it. It's too airy fairy, but I like the term imperial self. That's something Tessarian uses. But basically, it's your total self. It's your that spark of consciousness, whatever makes you alive and unique. The ability to conceive, the conceptual faculty, your imagination, that should be the ruler. And then the ego serves that versus the other way around, where you shut down complete access to that part of who you are and have only this ego consciousness that is basically just a projection of who you are. It's not actually who you are. And that creates an inauthentic way of living and creates despair, depression, and a feeling of being disconnected, which leads to this huge explosion of depression and anxiety. It's the loss of self that is at the root of all of these things. Yes, diet and food and air quality and environment and on we could go contribute to these things we call depression and anxiety and existential and internal issues. But ultimately, it comes down to your worldview, which stems from the information and experiences that you've had in your life to this point, and it comes from your concept of yourself. So if your entire worldview and the way that you operate in the world is based on how you view yourself, so basically you view the world through the lens of the way you view yourself, if that's true, is it any surprise or mystery to people why we live in a world that is dominated by destructive forces and people who are lost, who are sick, who are in some kind of crisis mode, who, you know, we've decayed, we're devolving more than we're evolving. As technology evolves, our sense of self and our conscious awareness is devolving. Is that a good mix? Is that going to produce anything good? We have to be very careful. And that's why I'm going to keep coming back to this concept of self-esteem, talking about it, because we're not going to move an inch politically, socially, or in any other way without first addressing this, without addressing the self. So we'll define this. I don't know why my slide got cut off. We're not doing elf esteem defined. That is a different presentation. We're talking about self-esteem defined by Nathaniel Brandon. Let me read it to you, so you have a clear definition of what we're talking about here. Self-esteem is an experience, he says. It is a particular way of experiencing the self. It is a good deal more than a feeling, and this must be stressed. It involves emotional, evaluative, and cognitive components. It also entails certain action dispositions to move forward in life rather than away from it, to move toward consciousness rather than away from it, to treat facts with respect rather than denial. that shit happens a lot, to operate self-responsibly rather than the opposite. Self-esteem is the disposition to experience oneself as being competent to cope with the basic challenges of life and being worthy of happiness. Do you ever feel like you're not worthy? And you got to ask yourself, where did that feeling come from? Is that something that was automatically generated within you, or was it a virus that was implanted in you? Let's think about that. Do you believe that you are competent to cope with the basic challenges of life, meaning you're self-sufficient, and are you worthy of happiness? It is confidence in the efficacy of our mind, in our ability to think. By extension, it is confidence in our ability to learn, to make appropriate choices and decisions, and respond effectively to change. It is also the experience that success, achievement, fulfillment, happiness are all right and natural for us. The survival value of such confidence is obvious, and so is the danger when it's missing. And actually, that brings me to another thing Brandon said in his fantastic book, Six Pills of Self-Esteem. I've recommended it countless times. I reference it regularly because it's just a book you got to read. You have to read it. I love that he has this whole section called Self-Esteem, the Immune System of Consciousness. When he put it in those terms, I had studied a lot of the things he said before. I had heard it from so many different people in different ways. But the way he said it, self-esteem being the immune system of consciousness. Think about that. We talk about all the time about, oh, you got to eat healthy so you can avoid the flu season, you know? You have to be proactive about your health to prevent health crisis coming down the road. So if you're proactive about your health, your immune system becomes stronger and it can fight off bacteria, infections, pathogens, etc., a lot easier. But we don't talk about what's the immune system of your brain and your mind, and not just your brain physically, but your mind, the content of your self-identity. You need an immune system for your consciousness. Even in religious texts, you can go in Christianity. Actually, I've seen this in multiple religious traditions. But in Christianity, they speak about specifically about how to put your spiritual armor on. Put on your spiritual armor. This was something that I actually really agreed with, was because of the fact that, I mean, I was really into like knights and medieval periods and warrior shit, right? Martial arts. But I really like this idea that you had to put your spiritual armor on first. Because if you think about it from the perspective of a warrior or someone that is about to go out and do some great heroic act, if they don't have their armor with them, if they don't have a means of protection, what level of confidence are they going to be able to go at that challenge with? They're like, man, I'm here naked, my underwear. It's like the worst dream you've ever had, right? You're always wearing your underwear, or something happens and people are looking at you and making fun of you, right? Think about that. Like, I'm out there, I'm naked, I have no protection. How much confidence are you going to have? Like, if you walked into the grocery store tomorrow in nothing but your underwear, would you feel super ultra confident? Probably not. It's the same thing walking out into the world without any armor or clothing or protective barrier between good thoughts and negative thoughts, between self-affirming thoughts or self-defeating thoughts, between a negative view of yourself or a positive view of yourself, between the ability to accept all that is versus trying to force feed everything into this little overly compartmentalized view of life. So you need some form of protection as you interface with the world and as you go about your life. We can all agree on that. But for some reason, we've closed the book when it comes to the immune system of your consciousness, because it's not hip to talk about that. It's not cool to talk about that. But I'm telling you, it's a matter of life and death. So we got to talk about it. And then he's got a brilliant passage in his introduction. I actually used a variation of this to open up a presentation I did a few years back in Philadelphia about sort of like this warrior concept. And it speaks as true as when he wrote this book back in the 90s as it is today. In fact, I feel like this book was written for people living today. It was ahead of its time. So let me break it down, where he says, the turbulence of our times demands strong selves with a clear sense of identity, competence, and worth. With a breakdown of cultural consensus, an absence of worthy role models, little in the public arena to inspire our allegiance, and disorientingly rapid change, a permanent feature of our lives, it is a dangerous moment in history not to know who we are or not to trust ourselves. The stability that we cannot find in the world, we must create within ourselves. To face life with low self-esteem or self-worth is to be at a severe disadvantage. All right, guys, that's the presentation. Like, what else do I need to say? I mean, that's it. But actually, it's not. There's a lot more to say. So let's continue. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, leave it in the comments. We can break it down in future videos. Also, if you disagree, let me know and we'll break it down. So I need to now establish the importance and the relevance of this subject. I really want to drive this home so we can all be very confident that this is worth your time to investigate. The time you've spent with this video so far is not wasted. And the time you're going to spend with me in the duration of this video, and if you decide to go and check out the premium content and continue on this with me, it will not be a waste of your time. This is the most important and relevant information that you will come across, because this is the foundation of your very being. This is talking about who you are and why you're here and what your meaning is and what your purpose is and how to protect yourself in this world of chaos full of people that have no self-esteem. Full of people that are more built towards being destructive personalities instead of creative personalities. You need to be able to put your own armor on first before addressing the world and before going after huge questions that are going to challenge you endlessly. And anytime you even take one step towards a goal that you have, no matter what it is, to expect that you're not going to face adversity is just naive beyond all comprehension. To expect that everything's just going to click together perfectly every time you step out your front door is ridiculous. I don't care how much of the book The Secret you read to yourself every morning, or how much Tony Robbins you got blasting in your ears, or how many daily affirmations you do. Those are all good things, but they're kindergarten level. We're going to get into the real advanced study of this. This is now going to become a forensic analysis, and I'm going to dedicate a huge portion of this channel towards relaying this information. And the reason I'm doing it, guys, is because this has radically transformed my life. Radically. In every way. And I want to pay this forward because it's incredibly valuable and it's relevant to our time. So the issue of self-esteem is a psychological issue of profound importance, and we need to carefully consider its role in human life, its significance in terms of understanding human motivation. We don't talk about what motivates human beings and where the incentive factors are and where they're not. We don't. We need to talk about what actually motivates the human being. Universally, and then as it differentiates down to the individual level. We have to talk about its relevance to your mental health, all this stuff about mental health and taking drugs and, you know, as all this stuff. There's so much nonsense, in my opinion, out there. And I can say that as someone that grew up with depression, battled it my whole life, severe levels of anxiety. You might sit there and go, Dave, must be nice to be you. Look at you. You're a straight white male. You're sitting there, you're an entrepreneur, you're successful, you're happily married, you got a beautiful family, look at you, you get to do what you love, must be nice. You must have had a whole bunch of privilege thrown your way. Nothing could be more ridiculous than that, to assume that someone like me or many other people that are successful in these areas, that we just had it all handed to us. Nothing has been handed to me. I've had to scrape and gripe and fight to get where I am, psychologically, physically. And even in terms of everything that I do, it's a fight, and you got to be willing to fight it. And you got to silence those negative voices around you and get rid of negative people in your life. Just see you later. It's not worth your time. When they're ready, different discussion. It's relevant to your mental health. You can fix your mind. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what your past traumas have been. I work with people from the military that have post-traumatic stress disorder with these concepts, drastically change them to the point where they're not on medication anymore. I used to be on medication when I was in my teens. I don't need medication. I'm doing great. And you can do great too with this information. It was reading books. It was practicing. It was moving my body. It was working on my breathing, working, you know what? It was making it a study. That's what it was. Making all of these questions and quandaries and challenges, making it a study instead of being intimidated by it and running and tucking tail. So there's my passionate little rant on that. And it's important to consider the relevance of this. Understanding this is understanding this basic key component, which is to have the basic knowledge that you are efficacious in the continuation of the life process. Efficacious. Sorry, I didn't have the dictionary definition. You'll have to look it up. Efficacious, being effective. Are you effective at the process of life? And when you say process of life, throw everything in that basket, all the aspects of your life, your personal, the way you think, the kind of information you absorb every day, what kind of food you eat every day, what kind of stuff you drink every day, what kind of people you hang out with, what kind of job you have, what kind of career path you went on that you probably didn't want to go on, but now you're on it because you feel like that's the only option you have in your life or whatever, or whether you are successful and you hate yourself because you're successful. No matter what side of this coin you're looking at, this information is liberating on all those levels to understand that you're efficacious in the continuation of the life process. So I have a question. This all presents a question. What are the facts of human nature that would give rise to the need for self-esteem? What are the facts of human nature that would give rise to the need for self-esteem? And to answer this, you need to consider three basic things about human nature. The components of human nature are this. So if you accept these things, we can move forward, okay? Number one, you're a rational being that is able to conceptualize. We've kind of already talked about that. So you have a conceptual faculty, conceptual differentiating that from just purely perceptual, the ability to perceive something versus the ability to apply a level of conception to that perception. It's magical and it's been gifted to the human race, and sadly we don't use it that much, so we should use it more. Second point is reason, your ability to use all these faculties of your mind, your brain, all that kind of stuff, your ability to reason, to think or not to think, to make choices, your ability to reason, that is your basic means of survival. Without that, what are we? Physically, human beings are incredibly weak in comparison to all the other creatures on the planet. We don't bode well when just left to the elements. Things don't go well. We can survive, we can get by, but we're not thriving. We're in fight or flight mode 99.9% of the time, and we are constantly at the will of nature. So we have this faculty of reason. So we started to reason and started to go, you know what? Maybe I could build a tent. Maybe I could make this thing called fire when I start rubbing these sticks together or whatever. Maybe I could start doing some things to make myself a little bit healthier so that I can survive longer. These are all faculties of your reason. And so without reason, if we don't use reason and we let all the computers do our thinking for us and we let other people do our thinking for us and we let the news tell us what to believe in the world and we let all these religious gurus, priests, and teachers tell us how to view ourselves in the world all the time and we don't use our own reason, it's a matter of life and death. Once again, your reason is your basic means of survival. And number three, you are a being of volitional consciousness. That you have a free will to choose. You have the free will to choose. I think I broke it down more here. Implications. Yeah, we'll do that in a second. We're going to finish on that one for this section. But you have the free will to choose. I broke it down already, but just to emphasize it again, if you're just tuning in, you have the free will at very least to choose to go on this mission of making your life better. Of being happy, of not just surviving anymore, not just barely scratching by, but thriving, and that you're worthy of it. That's a choice you make. And the steps that you take every day, from the moment you wake up, from when you make your bed, brush your teeth, prepare your breakfast, the way you do things, the way you orientate your life, this is huge in the Japanese culture. I love Japanese culture and tradition and you know, coming especially from like the samurai culture and many of these things, just this almost methodical, meditative way, this Zen approach to life from the basic things, like just the way that you make your tea, the way that you prepare your home. You got all that feng shui shit going on. You got all your chi flowing in the right directions. You got, you know what? Your life becomes an art. Your life becomes a work of art. It's not just this arduous struggle for survival every day. But if you can take on board these three components of your nature, that you're a rational human being that is capable, you're a rational being that is capable of conceptualization, reason is your basic means of survival, and that you are a being of volitional consciousness, and you have the free will to choose right now what kind of life you're going to continue living or what kind of life you're going to create for yourself tomorrow, now we've got something to work with. And now your life can change dramatically. And what you've actually done is you've chosen life over death. It's that serious. So I'm going to break down the implications of these three facts, and then we're going to shut this first section down. The continuation of this, where I get into the real details. I got some amazing content for the rest of this presentation, guys. I hope you will come and support my channel, support my show. I'll be doing that for my patrons over at Patreon, truthwarrior.com/Patreon. Go check that out. But I'll finish off on these three implications of the facts I just broke down. So our survival depends on the correct use of our mind, the correct use. So you have a tool. A tool can be used for correct usage or incorrect usage. And you'll always get feedback immediately from nature as to whether or not you're using your mind correctly or not. All right. To live, we must think. Your life depends on it. To live, you must think. To cease thinking is to start the process of atrophying and calcifying your brain. Literally, guys, they've done brain scans. You get into all the brain chemistry and brain neuroscience and all that kind of stuff. It's really fascinating. Even though I don't think that's the only thing that is your consciousness, but it's fascinating to study the tool that you've been given, this prism that channels this light, this photonic light that we call spirit or consciousness. It's an amazing tool. And if you choose to not exercise it, in the same way that if you were to choose to not exercise your body will get fat, lazy, stiff, and weak. And your mind will also get fat, lazy, stiff, and weak if you stop using it correctly. Correctly. There's a correct way to do things and an incorrect way to do things. This whole discussion in the social political milieu right now that's like, well, everything's just relative. It's all shades of gray. There's your truth and my truth, and it is whatever you want, and you can be whatever you want. No. There's a correct way to do things and an incorrect way to do things. And if you don't believe me, get out of your comfortable cities with apartments with hot running water and access to food as much as you want and all the stuff that we have and go survive in the wilderness for 30 days. With no gear whatsoever. Just go out there just with whatever you're wearing and go there and be like, I'm staying here for 30 days. I'm going to try to find a way to survive. And then come back and tell me if you think everything's relative anymore. And if you still believe that you can use your mind any way you want. There's no correct way or right way. There's your way. No. There's the right way and there's the wrong way. And I come from the martial art world, guys. I'm in the lab every day testing this shit out. I try things out that when you're dealing with someone that is aggressively pushing forward into you and trying to implement their will on you, in that moment, if you make even a fraction of a mistake, you'll be in an even worse position. You'll be getting knocked the fuck out. You'll be getting choked out. You'll be getting tapped out, whatever. You have to learn how to do things properly. And then from that template, yes, from the basic template of, okay, this is the right way. This is the wrong way. This is the correct way. This is the incorrect way. Then you can start becoming the artist and start putting your own flavor and your own unique spin on things. But you can't jump to that level of mastery. In martial arts, you can't jump to that level until you've gone at least 5 to 6 years in. That's black belt average. Okay. At black belt level, a lot of black belts quit. 90% or more of people that achieve a black belt in martial arts walk away from it. Which is hilarious to me because that's when things just start getting interesting. It's like now you have to take, so white belt to black belt is a structure of how to do things correctly or incorrectly, to learn that physical plane of doing things. And then once you've achieved that, it's like you've been given a palette full of different paints and you know how to use them on a technical level. Now you can put it all together and make your own Picasso masterpieces all you want. That's where the creative element gets activated once we have understood these implications. You can't go from A to Z. You got to go through the alphabet. It's just the way nature is. To think is an act of choice. It is the choice to brighten your consciousness and overall self-awareness, or to dim it by actively avoiding the act of thinking and self-awareness. I mean, the weight of this statement, I couldn't emphasize it. Let me move my cursor. I couldn't emphasize that anymore. To think is an act of choice. Is the choice to brighten your consciousness and overall self-awareness, or to dim it by actively avoiding the act of thinking and self-awareness. I'll let that speak for itself. Next up, in relation to your success or survival, it's a matter of choice. If you make the right choice, you will succeed and you will survive. If you make the wrong choice, you will fail and you can suffer unnecessary pain and even die as a result of wrong choices. Choice is a matter of life and death. Therefore, so is your self-esteem. Because the level of your self-esteem, guys, is going to determine what kind of choices you make. So if you think self-esteem is not relative to this, let's rethink that a little bit and realize that if self-esteem is the immune system of your consciousness and you're not actively using your reason, your mind, and all the gifts and faculties you've been given, and therefore you're not expressing the full capacity of your consciousness, your choices are going to be rather dim. They're not going to be really bright. You know, when you see someone that does something that's incredibly smart or amazing or talented or beautiful, you go, wow, that person is so bright. So it was a brilliant performance. That's because we're seeing the brilliance of the human spirit expressing itself in the physical world. It's truth in action. That's why people see comedians that are top shelf, musicians, top shelf, performances, movies, etc. It's truth in action. The reason you're attracted to that is because you wish you were that. You wish you were acting in accordance with the truth, and you wish you could act at that level. And I'm here to tell you, get rid of all the barriers, get rid of all the self-doubt, all that stuff. And then, yeah, there's no barrier to your truth in action anymore. So choice is a matter of death, life and death, and so is self-esteem. And even if you're walking about with the appearance of being alive, if you lack self-esteem, you're like the walking dead. And you will seek to make others the same in order to avoid feeling lonely in your suffering. This would open up the whole section on energy vampires, loser mentality, etc., victim mentality. This is their Bible. That whole thing about, I'm dead, you fill me up. I'm a victim, you save me. I need, you give. I want, you give. It's an externally directed, inauthentic way of living that produces those kinds of mindsets. Those kinds of mindsets, if we stopped propping them up and supporting them and doing everything we can to keep that going, that mindset would die the death that it needs to die in order for a new mindset to be born, which is, you know what? Maybe if I just spent a little more time brightening my consciousness, thinking healthy thoughts, consuming information that's going to empower me, taking some time, energy, and commitment to learning things and applying myself to those things, and gaining the confidence and self-esteem that will naturally come as a byproduct of me doing that, maybe I won't be so needy on everybody else. Maybe I won't feel like such a victim of everybody else in the world and all that kind of stuff. Maybe I'll start walking around feeling a little bit more like a victor. And I'll actually get some shit done. And when I start getting some shit done, I'll start feeling better about myself and I'll get even more shit done. And I'll actually contribute not only to my life, but to my family, my friends, my community, my society, my country, and even to the world. It's a total flip in the way we've been taught to think. We've been taught to think in altruistic terms only. If you're successful, everything you've done, you must give it away. What? To who? To people that won't ever lift a finger to become successful themselves? Why don't I teach a man to fish instead of just giving a man to fish all the time? Do you ever feel like you're giving energy all the way constantly and you never get anything in return? And then you just kind of go, I don't care anymore because there's nothing in it for me. And all I'm doing is enabling a victim mindset in all the people around me and a loser mentality. And I'm not enabling something that's worth having, which would be this. The mindset of a warrior, the mindset of an artist, of a creator. So this is huge, and we're going to break this down more. What's my next? What am I? I can't remember. Okay, which way is the right way? Yeah, we're going to get into decisions and all this stuff. What else have I got? We're getting into some basic questions. There's a bunch more stuff we're going to get into here. So I hope that I've delivered this in a way that has at least stimulated your thinking, that you can now make some choices in your life that will help your life become better. That's all I want. I want to add some value to your life. Otherwise, why would you come and watch this? And why would I spend all this time and energy and hours and hours and hours to construct these kinds of presentations? Why would I do that unless there was some kind of a win-win situation here? And that's how you should orientate your interactions with other people as well. I recommend it. Put a barrier, put a build a wall of protection around yourself. And then from that place, decide who you're going to let into your life and who you're not. What kind of food you're going to eat and what kind of food you're not going to eat. What kind of activities you're going to engage in, what kind of activities you're not going to engage in. You're not just going to live with this open, loosey-goosey, anything-goes thing where everybody gets to come in and pluck you dry. That is not going to work for you anymore. You need to put a barrier of protection around yourself so that you can do more. If your goal is to serve everybody and be the patron saint, Mother Teresa or whatever, then you're not going to get anywhere if you can't take care of yourself, if you don't put your own oxygen mask on first. Whatever your goal in life is, learn how to protect yourself, take care of yourself, and from that place, go out and greet the world. Don't just let all the barriers go and just run out there with this naive, childlike mindset that says, oh, I'll give everything away and I'll take whatever I can and blah. Like you need strategy. You need a plan. You need to build these principles into yourself. You need to work on yourself daily. I mean, most of your time, let's be honest, is spent working for other people. Why don't you spend 15 minutes a day, half an hour a day? Why not even an hour? Fuck it, 2 hours a day. Working on you, doing something that's going to help you. How can you help your family, friends, or all the things you care about if you haven't even taken care of yourself? And that's what we have a world full of. We have a world full of people out there on the streets, marching, posting on Facebook, sharing their opinion about how the world should be and how society should be and what system we should use and who we should be voting into office and blah, 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 blah. And these same people, their lives are chaos. Their self-esteem is not even existent. They're not thinking for themselves. They're literally just repeating information. This is why that NPC meme is going around these days. It's just like this automaton, no self-critique, no self-awareness, no critical thinking capability, no, like, just it's gone. And those are the people that are fixing the world. Is that how you want it to be? Don't you want competent people to fix the things, the complex problems that we've got? Don't you want the best? Like when you go buy a product, you want the best. When you pick what YouTube channel you're going to tune into, you're like, I want the best one that works for me and is based around what I'm interested in and what I need in my life and what I value. You're not going to settle for something that's second best. Nobody would. And we always do that in relation to the things we consume and the books we buy and the clothes we wear and the stuff that we do and the partners, but we don't do it for ourselves. And it's not working out. And that's why you're depressed. That's why you can't think clearly. That's why you don't know what to believe. That's why you're not inner directed. You're outer directed. That's why you're lost. That's why people are just taking everything and the shirt off your back and all your energy. That's why, because you're open. You have an open door policy that says, just come on in, take what you want, because I don't value what I have. The only people that give everything away are people that do not value themselves and they do not value what they have, which means the stuff they're giving away is probably worthless. Seek value. Create value. Watch your self-esteem explode. Watch your life change. Watch your health improve. Watch your financial situation improve. Watch your circle of friends improve. Watch your relationships improve. On and on and on I could go. If you apply what I'm building, what I'm telling you, and this isn't just me. Like I said, we haven't even gotten into Bruce Lee yet. I'm going to save that. But, you know, this is the best thinkers ever in history that have said this in a myriad different ways for eons of time. the human race hasn't really listened. Only segments of the population listened. And so I'm here to try to beef those numbers up a little bit, get you to think for yourself, get you to take back your life, take control of your mind. Because let me just finish on this. If you do not control the processes of your mind, if you do not control your mind, somebody else will, or something else will. If nobody's driving the car and the car is running on the highway, the car is going to take its own natural course and probably cause all kinds of chaos and destruction. Or if the driver of that vehicle is not you and you swap you for some drunk, like completely pissed drunk fool to drive the car for you, what do you think is going to happen? That's what happens when you give up the sovereignty of your mind to other people. You let other people do your thinking for you. And you take nothing from yourself. You take nothing from your own achievements. You don't even try to achieve. You're on a train that's headed off a cliff. And all I want to do is, and that's where I was headed, guys. That was where I was going. And I've gone up and down in my life. I don't have this all nailed. This information is what I aspire towards. It's not something I've mastered. It's just something I've gotten pretty good enough with that I have achieved the abundance that comes with it. But make no mistake, it's a struggle. And it has to be a struggle. It must be. Without the struggle, it's not worth having. You don't grow muscles by just sitting in the chair all day eating Doritos. If that's what you want, then you're doing the wrong thing to achieve that goal. So brighten your consciousness, use your brain, think for yourself, find a way to motivate yourself. I'll give you some good indications and some good ideas of how I've done that, and make this a project and make it a study. So thanks for joining me, guys. That's the first section here. I'm going to do section two for my patrons at patreon.com. I will catch you again soon. I'm also going to be producing more episodes on all kinds of different subjects here. There's some amazing things happening in Canada where I live. I think Canada is going to be getting more and more news in the whole global news situation because of what's going to be coming up in the next year or so. We've got some new elections coming up. There's a lot of these issues coming to the fore in a political sense. I'm going to try to break down some of that, but also to come at it from this perspective of individual sovereignty and self-esteem. And then hopefully I can maybe help improve the political discussion here in this country because it's needed. So I'm going to be contributing to that. I'm also going to be doing more stuff on like ancient mysteries and some of the more paranormal stuff. I got stuff coming up for entrepreneurs, people that are interested in health, martial artists. I just kind of go where the wind blows with this one, guys. This is whatever my passion or my interests are. That's where we're going to be going on this show. I hope you enjoy it. Please subscribe, click the bell, because this way you at least see some of my videos when they're posted. Be sure to comment, leave me your comments. You can send me messages if you have any questions, and I'll catch you next time, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Cheers.